We are going to be presented a few.
Pardon me?
Mr. Anthony, you got a few slides that you want to go through?
I think so. We can get through them pretty quickly.
Okay, why don't we do that first and go through the slides for the governor's presentation. And then if there's a burning question, as the slide comes up, we'll try to ask it. Otherwise, let's try to get through the presentation first. Unless you want us to stop.
Well, actually, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Mr. Showalter and I kind of have a broad overview of the budget. And then we also have Commissioner Innes from Revenue and Commissioner Ludeman from Human Services. If you're interested in drilling down on some specific questions in those areas.
Commissioner Hanson, are you passing off that drilling to somebody else?
Yes, it's kind of like tag team in wrestling. Run back and
okay, why don't we try our best?
Some of us are wondering if you've recuperated from the arrows this morning.
Yeah, well, I feel like I've been with you all day, Representative
Brown. That's true.
Third time I've seen you today.
Okay, Commissioner, why don't you identify yourself for the team?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Tom Hanson. I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Management and Budget. And I'm here today to walk through the governor's supplemental budget and answer any questions you might have and work with you as this process goes on to make sure you have the information that you need as we seek to balance our 2010-2011 budget. We have a slide presentation. It's up on the screen as well as the slides handed out to you. Key elements to the governor's recommendations. First of all, we have reduced spending to match anticipated revenues. If you recall in the last forecast, our revenues declined, and now we're reducing spending to match those revenues. We protect priority services, primarily K-12 education, vets, and core state public safety. And then we have the governor's job creations plan in the revenue area that Commissioner Innes can talk about a little later if you so desire. On the second page at the top, just to remind you, the deficit from November, the November forecast was...
Just 1 second. Representative Hunt.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner, on the first slide there, it says you're protecting vets. Does that include the 8,000 vets that are on GAMC?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Huntley, when we say vets, we're talking about services at the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Okay. Okay, Commissioner, continue on.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead. Paymar? I'm sorry. Was there another question?
Paymar.
Representative Paymar.
Well, so I can wait. I'm not sure if this will be covered in later slides. Are you going to go through each division that was cut? I mean, I'm just curious when you say that the governor did not cut core public safety, and looking at the budget recommendations, he cut corrections, he cut the courts, he cut Department of Public Safety. He cut legal aid, he cut public defenders. I'm not sure what you're saying.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Paymar, we hadn't planned on this presentation to walk through in detail the reductions. When the governor talks about core public safety, he's talking about the Highway Patrol, BCA, and items like that. And as far as corrections, we didn't cut services that involve direct incarceration, but as I said in the committee this morning, we listened to you and Senator Higgins from last year and tried to find some savings in corrections. So I guess we hadn't defined that as core public safety, but
okay, Commissioner, continue on.
All right, at the top of page 2, as you recall, the budget deficit was 1.2. That means we are 7 months into the biennium. We have 17 months left. If you recall from the forecast, it was primarily a drop in income tax and some sales tax that resulted in our deficit. The gap that is remaining is about 6%. We were limited to some degree by federal government We received federal medical assistance program money last year, and we are required to maintain eligibility in that program, so we do not reduce anything in the human services area that runs afoul of our maintenance of effort with the federal government. We reduced higher ed by $47 million, that in K-12 we don't reduce at all, but we are required to not go below the 2006 levels for the Department of, or for the higher ed, and that is institutions, not the grant programs. So you'll see in the governor's recommendations that we reduce the University of Minnesota by $36 million and the Aminsku by about $10 million. That takes them both back to their 2006 levels. We have already used one-time resources in past solutions. As you recall, Mr. Chairman and members, we utilized the House position on the shift, the 7327, and the governor's unallotment solution this summer. We do not, in this plan, go any further on that. We utilized the budget reserve in 2008 when we resolved our deficit a year ago, the remaining $155 million. So that is not available. The other standing account that we have is the cash flow account of $350 million. As we discussed in this committee and with you multiple times, Mr. Chairman, that cash flow account is needed to balance out our cash flow needs in the months to come. So we have not utilized that, and that remains. On the bottom of page 2, most programs and operating budgets, you will notice, have been reduced by 6%. The operating cuts and balances save more than $70 million. You will notice as you look through your documents and as you all work within your divisions that we have also utilized and made reductions to small agencies and reductions in other funds and non-general funds and transfer those to the general fund. More specifically, we there's interplay with the Health Care Access Fund as well as the Douglas Johnson Economic Protection Fund was reduced $30 million. And all not on the slide, but we also reduced the took a $5 million balance and transferred it from the 21st Century Mineral Fund into the general fund.
Commissioner, can I honestly say then, of the $70 million, $35 million of that is coming from the Aaron Range, or the $120 million?
Mr. Chairman, the overall, just the overall number from other funds is $120 million.
So the $35 million of that is from the Aaron Range.
There is 56 from the Department of Human Services. 48 is the transfer from the Health Care Access Fund. And when you add up the 56 and the 35, that gets you to 83. And then the rest, the remainder, the 40 or so million is from other funds. So it's $120 million from other funds that are transferred into the general fund.
Thank you. I shouldn't say thank you. Thank you for the answer.
Your answer, I know.
We'll accept that.
That was, I understood what that was, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
The on the top of page 3, some other elements of the governor's package. As do 11 other states, we anticipate the receipt of $387 million of federal medical assistance program money. That is and that is for the first two quarters of fiscal 11. The current $1.7 billion blinks off at the end of calendar 11. The $387 million has been passed the House, is in President Obama's budget, and is part of our recommended budget as well. We ratify the unallotments as permanent reductions going forward. They reduce our tails by $2.2 billion. As I said earlier, the K-12 shift is as it was, 7327. It's not added to. And then the tails are reduced under the governor's plan from $5.4 to $2.4 billion. And then the bottom slide walks through, it just shows you the overall plan by major area. With that, Mr. Chairman, I will turn it over to Mr. Showalter.
Sure. Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Jim Showalter, State Budget Director. This last, our second to last chart, just shows you some of the major elements in the governor's supplemental recommendations. The health care and human services line is really reflecting the Department of Human Services, plus the accumulated health care access fund transfers that are included in the lists that you see under DHS, although that includes some savings from other agencies. Aid to local governments, as the commissioner indicated before, that includes not just cities, but it includes county aids and market value credits, a total of $250 million there. The extended federal Medicaid match, that is assuming a extended two quarters of federal Medicaid funds for the last half of 2011. Higher education institutions, you mentioned this morning, and just real briefly here, that institutions, although they're about 10% of the state budget, relatively small proportional cut here because of the maintenance of effort requirements that are tied with the state stabilization dollars that came with ARRA last year. The remainder, the $181 million, is an accumulation of the operating cuts, other programmatic cuts, other fund transfers, all gathered into that $181 million. Total of $1.2 billion, we're currently showing about $9 million on the bottom line. I think the last chart that you might have in your handout, because I think it was coming out to an odd number of slides, so I threw one more in just for kicks. Is just to give you some context that, you know, we think about state government as in a number of different fashions. Each committee has a lot of activities going on, but when we get to the general fund, really a very, very high percentage of it is really going out in grants, and it's really going out to school districts, to health human services providers, to higher education institutions, local aids and credits. If you look at the total general fund budget, you see that blue portion, about 85% is going out in grants. Of the rest, about 8% is in compensation, 4% other compensating, other operating expenses, and then finally debt service. So, I
so
again...
Mr. Walter, let me stop you a second.
Sure.
Grants would include, in this particular scenario, the money we spend for K-12 education?
Mr. Chair, that's right.
So this administration is including the money we give to school districts to educate their children as grants?
Mr. Chair, perhaps I'm using too few words, but what I'm trying to identify is funds that are spent by other units of government, other entities, other than directly by the state. So K-12 spending really leaves the state's treasury as a grant or a leaves the state treasury and the accounting system as a grant to a school district from the Department of Education. That's what I'm trying to indicate here.
Mr. Showalter, let me ask another question then. Health and Human Services, that we give to pay for not only general assistance, medical care, but nursing homes and everything else, health care access fund, health care insurance, is that in a grant as well?
Mr. Chair, as you see it in the biennial budget documents, as you would look at it in object classes, in those documents as well as how we would account for it, yes. Those are basically payments to vendors or payments to individuals, in some instances third-party payments, but they would be they would show up as grants. If you look at like the Transparency and Accountability Project, that TAP Minnesota that we have online, all of the payments, quote unquote, to vendors, and that includes school districts, includes healthcare providers, would show up there as payments to others.
I understand payments to others. I'm intrigued by the terminology of grants. It's a good 10-second soundbite for everybody. Representative Aguinius.
Thank you. Just to follow up, Mr. Chair, I'm just looking at this. You say you're cutting aid to local governments by 250, and then you're cutting grants. Well, most of them go to local governments, at least in the areas that I work in. So what's the real number in cutting of aid to local government?
Mr. Chair, Representative, a good question. I don't have a cross-cut across aids and credits plus, particularly in human services. We've been trying to be sensitive to that. You'll find in the local aids cuts that there are lower cuts to county units of government because they are doing disproportionately some programs that the state is quite closely involved in. But I don't have a sort of cross cut of the budget like you're asking for.
Representative McGinnis. Can you use your mic, Representative McGinnis?
Yes. I look in the area of the Pollution Control Agency because I just recognize some of those grants are all going to counties. So it seems to me that if we're cutting those pieces to counties, the better way to let citizens know, to be more transparent, would be to raise this 250 number to the real number. So is that something you can do for us?
Mr. Showalter.
Mr. Chair, Representative, we'd be happy to take a look and try to put tally together. It's not going to be precise, but we would be happy to try and figure that out.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair and Representative Wagenius, we'll send that around to the whole committee.
Other things on your slide? I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, Mr. Chair, I appreciate the questions and the comments on it. That is the end of the presentation. I just put up here just a sort of similar context, a look at the overall general fund end of session budget and just sort of the percentages by area. Again, to look at the context as you're looking at relative cuts in areas to understand the overall context.
Mr. Showalter, I think we want to start off with the 387 to begin with. Representative Huntley?
Well, Mr. Chair and Commissioner and Mr. Showalter, I have a series of questions. At any time in history, has any other governor proposed a budget that relies on the hypothetical federal funding that has not been approved by Congress or signed by the President? Has that ever been done before?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Huntley, the Federal Medical Assistance Program has been around for a long time and will be around for a long time. Last year, when the governor proposed his initial budget in January, we relied on proposed FMAP increase, and as it turned out, it was much higher than what we had anticipated.
And Mr. Chair, and
Mr. Chairman, on that point, though, Commissioner Hansen, I think we had some discussion about that this morning.
Yes.
In terms of the timeline, because I had commented that in my time here, I had never seen anything like that, and you pointed out that the initial budget was proposed that way, but if you could explain to the committee as a follow-up to Representative Huntley's question when that was actually acted upon, because it's quite a different timeline than we're talking about now.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson and Representative Huntley, we had the same discussion this morning. The governor's budget is introduced in January, and when we...
the end of January, correct?
Yeah. It's usually, I think it's the 26th. Yes. That's still January, but yes, the end of January. And
well, we asked for the governor's budget, you know, in December of this year, and we didn't get it. So
yeah, but you're still a month earlier than what we normally do in a supplemental year. But the, and then we, Representative Huntley, we introduced our budget in January 26th, end of January. And the at that point, the federal legislation had been introduced. It was passed on about February 17th or 18th. Then we had our forecast, and the governor, we introduced a supplemental budget based on the forecast and the passed federal legislation. That's kind of the timeline that Representative Carlson's referring to.
So, Mr. Carlson, the point that I wanted to make as a follow-up was that we didn't have, in fact, have a bird in the hand at that point much earlier than what we're talking about here in terms of whether that 387 will, in fact, be passed in a timely manner for the completion of the session. It's a high risk, is my point. Representative Hundley.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner, that is not in the Senate bill. The Senate has not put it, the House has put it into the health care reform bill, the House has put it into a jobs bill, the Senate has not put that into any bill. Secondly, let me ask this first. Has George Hoffman, who does the fiscal notes for Department of Human Services, approved this?
Well, I don't.
Well, maybe we should ask the commissioner to come forward of Health and Human Services. I saw him doing a nodding, and it's an interesting question to ask. So, Commissioner, welcome to the legislature again.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Cal Whitman, Commissioner of Human Services.
Would you want to, you heard Representative Huntley's question?
I did.
Well, care to answer that, please?
George, Mr. Hoffman, who is our state forecaster for Human Services, did the estimate that calculated the $387 million. It would mean either not George's job to make a calculation about its inclusion in the budget or not. But so it included actually receipts of federal dollars would be more, except offset by certain Medicaid costs that are actually going down in the governor's supplemental budget, so it's not the full amount. It's the calculated a realization of that money of the, by enhancement we mean from 50% Medicaid match to 61.59% for Medicaid expenditures.
Representative Huntley.
Either one of the commissioners, will then Mr. Hoffman approve a bill if I introduce it that assumes that the federal government is going to allow 13 states, including Minnesota, to start the expansion of medical assistance on April 1st? Because that's in the Senate bill. It's not in the House bill. Would Mr. Hoffman approve that, give me a good fiscal note on that bill?
Commissioners?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Huntley, Mr. Hoffman's job would be to estimate what the net effect of it would be, but not a fiscal note on the certainty of any federal action. I should remind you, however, that the President also has this same extension in his own budget proposed to the Congress of the United States.
So does the final authority reside with the Commissioner of Management and Budget for the fiscal note? The final authority for the fiscal note, Mr. Huntley, resides, I think, with the Commissioner of Management and Budget. Maybe you want to ask that question of that commissioner.
Commissioner Hansen, would you give me a good fiscal note on a bill that assumes that we can start medical assistance up to 75% of poverty on April 1st. The net result of that would be $250 million of additional federal money into this state.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Hansen.
Representative Huntley, I don't think Mr. Hoffman or anybody who's doing a fiscal note looks into their tea leaves to determine whether it's going to happen on April 1st. The judgment, it's our judgment that the Congress will pass the federal medical assistance program money for our state for those two quarters. And if you, and it's our recommendation, if you don't like it, you don't have to do it.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner Hansen, what's the difference between those two positions? I hope we get the $387 million, but I'm not sure we're going to. And how can I introduce a budget that's based on something we don't know will happen? Well, let me ask another question there. Commissioner Hansen, what is the governor going to do publicly to encourage Congress and the President to pass that extension of the stimulus package? Will he come out in public and say that he wants the stimulus package extended? Will he write a letter to the President and to Congress saying that he wishes them to extend the stimulus package for 6 months?
Mr. Hansen.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Huntley, the federal FMAP program has existed long before stimulus. It's not a stimulative program. It doesn't create jobs. It is a funding program with fairly prescribed regulations. And I presume that I don't know what he's going to do, but we're going to be receiving FMAP money for years to come.
Well, Mr. Chair, the stimulus bill actually gave us $1.8 billion for medical assistance.
I know what it gave us.
As part of the stimulus, okay? That is scheduled, that extra boost is scheduled to go away on January 1st. If it doesn't go away and it continues for 6 months, we get an extra $387 million. But it's only in the House bills. It's not in the Senate bills. So what I want to know is if you will allow me and if you will approve a budget that assumes things that are in the Senate bill.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Huntley, we are assuming passage of FMAP because it is a similar situation to last year. And it's our experience from last year that we actually got more than we anticipated.
Commissioner, I, in all due respect, and I understand the frustration that exists around the table on both sides of the, from your perspective and mm-hmm. other, and we hope that, this is passed. But in all due respect, when you compare it with the previous MFAT, as I know it, which was a shared reimbursement, and the changes that were made in the last stimulus package that your boss, and I understand you have a boss, so it's not all your fault. I give you some leeway here. But railed against it and continues to do that and now is counting on it as part of a repassage of it is just kind of a stretch. And to answer your question, Representative Huntley, I'm going to take responsibility and say no, that I will not allow you to do that.
Well,
because
Mr. Chair,
it has to be balanced.
But thankfully, there is someone around here that has some responsibility.
Well, that's the frustration, I think, and we hope that that it does come through because it does help us.
And you know, Mr. Chairman, and
Representative, one more at this
Representative time. Huntley. Then I have others on the list.
If we don't get the $387 million, what do you and the governor propose to do?
We will recommend other actions. And we don't have them now, but if that's the case, we will.
Representative Carlson?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, on that point, and as you know, this morning I made a request, and you'll be receiving a letter shortly, but...
I figured I was.
that... We do have that plan, and it goes back to the law that we talked about this morning where we do have to have a balanced budget. And I think most of us at the table here are very concerned that the budget isn't balanced because of the 387. And you referenced tea leaves. I guess we can read all kinds of tea leaves, but they don't necessarily give us the information we need to balance the budget. So what we're really interested in, and what I'm interested in, again, for the benefit of the group that's here, is what I called this morning Plan B. You know, what you would do if the 387 is not there. And members, the reason I ask that, it's very important for our division chairs as they put the budget bills together to know what the governor's recommendations are so we can begin to respond to what those needs are, how we come up with that 387. And so I don't know what your timeline will be, but I think we need that information fairly soon so we can include that as part of the hearings as we put the bills together. So we would appreciate a balanced budget proposal fairly soon.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Carlson, and I'll answer like I did this morning, respectfully, you have the governor's proposal, and it does balance. And I will send a polite response to your letter. But in the end, the governor's budget balances. You may not like it, You're welcome to propose other measures, which you normally do. And if the federal medical assistance program money doesn't pass, we will be back with alternatives.
Well, that's the point, Mr. Chairman. That's the timeline is what I'm talking about here. So if we're going to have an opportunity to have the hearings and respond to what your proposals are, we have to have them early enough so that we meet the legislative timelines. And you are legislative staff. You know that we have timelines that are in place so that we can get these bills through the process. And we don't have a major question. 30% roughly of the whole problem that's before us is all tied up in that $387 million.
And Commissioner, I don't want to beat a dead horse like you. Because I know you're under term limits.
Sure.
Not dead yet. But I don't think the question of saying, well, we'll respond to that when we cross the bridge is an acceptable answer. It really isn't. I mean, we've had a good working relationship over the years. And I appreciate you trying to court that working relationship. But in all deference, to have the budget balance on 387 of hope, and I hope it happens. You hope it happens. But I don't think we can build on it. I mean, one of your colleagues in the U.S. House of Representatives, John Klein, said it is not going to happen. And in the article that I've got. So I don't think Representative Carlson's request is an unreasonable request. Maybe we should at least know, then, is the alternative to Plan B to cut a whole bunch more out of 387 out of Health and Human Services? If that's the case, do that. Tell us that so we know. Put those cuts on. Or is it taking it out of more agencies or Department of Corrections or vets or what is it? I don't think the request of saying to have the rest of the Plan B part is a request that is uncalled for or unheard of. So I do have some other ones. I've interrupted that in my lecture, and I didn't mean to do that. We have some other people on, but Representative Demmer.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Hansen, isn't it true, in the time I've been here, we've done budgets every year. We've done a main budget, a supplemental budget. Do we always know when we project revenues, Commissioner Hansen, what they are going to be in the coming biennium? How do we project that? Do we know what's coming in the coming biennium when we put a budget together?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Demmer, we do not. It is our revenues are projected in our forecast in November and February, and we project revenues out and then hope we receive them.
Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Commissioner Hansen, is that a whole lot different than projecting in a $387 million that's been talked about from the federal government that we may be getting and using that in a budget projection? Is that a lot different than projecting what sales tax revenues may be 2 years out or what income tax revenues, corporate or personal, might be 2 years out? Is there a whole lot of difference projecting these things and then making adjustments as we go and find differences? Do you see a big difference in that, Commissioner?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Demmer, appreciate where you're going. Anything you're doing with budgeting going into the future is speculative. I think when you look at trying to predict revenues, you're predicting the behavior of millions of people around the country, and are they going to spend? Are they going to make money? I would think that's infinitely harder, and there's a greater risk factor on whether it's actually going to occur.
What it might not be is that might be more accurate than what the Congress is going to do.
Well, I'm thinking that it's a little, while speculative at Congress, there's less variables than, it's still speculative. I didn't want to put them on the same category, but you're still predicting behavior that you cannot control.
Representative Demmer, follow up.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I submit that I see it as kind of the same principle, however. We're still projecting what may be coming, and we have to budget based on something. And we might argue with whether it's good judgment or not, but I think to say, well, we don't agree with that one number, so everything is off. You know, whenever we do budgets here, we have debates for months as to what numbers are correct as we put these things together. I think the commissioner and the governor have put together a budget here based on their best guesstimate. If this doesn't work out, it'll be like every other budget, Mr. Chair, and we'll have to make adjustments at that time. But this is a best good faith estimate by the department, and I think we can, as you said, not beat this dead horse anymore.
Well, I didn't say I wanted to beat this dead horse. Yeah. I said I wouldn't beat him. That dead horse is sitting there. Representative McNamara. Representative Galafro. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'm just looking for some guidance from you. I think majority parties made their point, and I'm just trying to figure out if I'm supposed to dial it up and retaliate now or if we're going to move on. And I'm just looking for some guidance. I can go either way.
Well, you can dial up. I could never control you, period. You can dial up as much as you want. This is a free-for-all.
Because, Mr. Chairman, I like you and stuff, but I'd much rather be at home.
My wife said the same
my
thing,
wife
too.
Right now, instead of talking with you, and as great of a guy as you are, I'd much rather be doing that. But I just want Mr. Galafro,
in all seriousness, in very, very seriousness,
yes.
The governor is required to submit a budget. And we want to understand the budget. Do we think it's balanced, that he submitted a balanced budget? Absolutely not. I don't think the request that we're asking for, and for you to be part of that discussion, is to say, if that doesn't happen, and it's very, very speculative, that it doesn't happen.
And Mr. Chairman, I respect that.
What I want to say is, I think the request for Representative Carlson to submit, what would you do in that case, is not out of line.
And Mr. Chairman, respectfully, I think that point was made about 20 minutes ago. It looks like there's some other stuff going on right now. And Mr. Chairman, I'm fine with that if we're going to do that tonight. I can join into the fray. I can bring up what happened last night on the House floor. We can talk about some historical precedents. We can do that. Or we can move on. And I'm not going to sit around here and watch the commissioner get slapped around like a Slovenian goalie at an Olympic hockey match. I'm looking for some direction on where we're going.
Which commissioner are you talking about?
Yeah. Because, Mr. Chairman, I'll just tell you, and I don't know if the majority party knows this or not, okay? Our caucus is pretty close to DEFCON 1 after last night. And I don't mean that in a retaliatory measure. I'm just wondering, you've got some guidance on controlling the temperament of this meeting today, and I will follow your direction.
I'm trying my best to control it.
Okay. So,
Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Carlson, can you tell me if you know what your timeline is for setting the budget targets? And are you planning on doing that before the February forecast comes out? Or in your conversation with Commissioner Hansen, you talked about a timeline. I'm just curious what that timeline is.
Well, we've had two meetings with the division chairs, and they're in the process of reviewing their budgets to see where they can make adjustments, and those hearings will begin. The first step in the process now is that we've got the governor's budget before us. We never finalize anything until we get the February forecast, which will be early March. I think you said March the 2nd, Commissioner, if I recall. We're already just about through February, so that's not too far removed. But yes, we've begun the process.
Well, I didn't hear any date or timeline there. And I attended a number of forums where the speaker spoke about that she expected your caucus to put out an early spending reduction bill on things that could be agreed on. Is that something that we should look forward to in the near future? Or is that not in the plans? Or
I think it's fair to say that's under discussion.
All right, and we've only been
in session about a week, so or two.
You know, Representative Carlson, we've been meeting here since January at least. Nearly every division hustled around and had hearing after hearing, days after days. Most of them were around proposals for the debt bill, and you know, we pushed that through in the first week. My understanding is that they want that out of conference by Friday. That's fine. You guys are in charge. We understand that. But your discussions with Commissioner Hansen and your timeline, I mean, the sooner that they can know it, and we can agree to disagree here, and I'm trying to be respectful, but, you know, you're talking about them booking the $387 million on speculation, whether it may or may not happen. Some of us would say that you could easily make a correlation to what happened last spring in the budget that was passed by the legislature was based on tax increases that the governor said over and over and over again he would never spend. So some would have looked at that as money that was never going to come to fruition. So, I mean, it is a matter of perspective. Do we know for sure whether or not the 387 is coming? No, we don't. They've chosen to include it in their budget. Last spring, the Democrats decided to include tax increases in balancing their budget, even though every indication was that it would never become law. So, I mean...
Well, Mr. Chairman, what I've requested, this is Plan A, this is the way I view it, and I've requested that we be presented with a Plan B in case the 387 doesn't come about. And the main reason that, as I mentioned earlier, that I'm interested in getting the governor's recommendation on that is to give the various divisions an opportunity to see what direction we are going to be going as a result of the governor's proposal. And the law, it was the broad amendment that was passed last year that requires the governor to submit a balanced budget. And much of the discussion to this point has been whether this is a balanced budget that's been submitted. Now, when you talk about the forecast, the past governors, and this governor included, they've always made adjustments after you get the February forecast. And that would probably be done if we weren't talking about a Plan B. I would assume that whatever that forecast shows, that we will get change orders and so on relative to the governor's budget after February the 2nd when that's released. But many of us feel that there is a real problem with that 387 because it's a big number. It's one-third of the dollars that are involved in the 1.2 billion, and we feel that we're at high risk, and we would like to get the recommendations of the Department of Finance and the governor as to how that hole would be filled if it doesn't come about. And others have said here today that they hope it does. I hope it does. But if it doesn't, we're going to have to make a huge adjustment. And if we don't have time to respond to the governor's request, that just simply complicates the legislative process.
Okay. But again, Chair Carlson, in a very respectful manner, we could spend the next week debating on whether or not to book the 387. The reality is that gets us no closer to solving the budget situation. You guys are going to put together a budget solution. Whether you include the 387 or not is your choice. Is this the perfect situation? No, this is a very difficult situation. But, I mean, I'm happy to sit here and have this discussion, but the reality is how does it move it forward, getting us closer to solve the deficit that's before us?
Well, let me answer that question very kindly. And that is, we've asked the commissioners to have a Plan B and ask them very respectfully to give us some recommendations on the 387 so that we have some idea of what's going on. And I don't think that's an unreasonable request. We would hope that it would come in a timely fashion. Representative Mahoney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is actually a question for Commissioner Hansen. In your presentation, part of the request is for us to ratify the unallotments from earlier this year. I think it's $2.2 billion. And in your proposed budget solution, you've got LGA that you're cutting again at $250 million and higher education institutions at $47 million. And I don't have the numbers in front of me. You being a numbers guy, Maybe you could tell me what the total of those two would be, the from the unallotments last time or whenever it was, and the 250, and the unallotments to higher ed the last time, and the extra $47 million.
Commissioner Hanson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mahoney, you want to know for 2010 and 11, the total reductions in aids and credits, what's already happened and what we're proposing, as well as with higher ed, the higher ed institutions.
It's simple.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what the question is.
Do you have that?
No.
I think I've said before, I'm not Rain Man, but I think we're
good. Commissioner, I think the unallotment for local government aids is at $300 million. Am I correct on that?
Yes. Ward's nodding yes. $300
million. And this is another $250, so you can add those two together. I don't know as if there was an unallotment of the higher education. Was there in the governor's?
We can look at the higher
to June, and this one's another 47. There may have been some in that. I don't recall what that number was.
Mr.
Showalter.
Ms. Dibdahl has given me, I think, some clues. If I can reconstruct,
sure.
I believe the unallotments included $50 million reduction for each institution. At that point in time, you're seeing an additional $47 million reduction in the supplemental recommendation for the combined, for the two. So altogether, that's $147 million.
The other one would be $500 million or $550.
And the local aids and credits, yes, we were talking about there's a $250 million reduction in the supplemental recommendations, and I believe the unallotments were at $300 million, 4, 10, and 11.
Okay. Follow-up?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner and Assistant Commissioner. Then, I've been following the multiple deficits we've had over the years, and I keep watching as you cut some of the departments across the board, so to speak, except for one here or one there. And this year, in this particular budget, you're asking the departments to reduce their budget by 6%. And I think the last time in the unallotments it was 5%. And I'm just wondering, if you could total those up, because I'm going to guess that it was well over 20 to 25% over the last 3 or 4 years that you cut out of the, across the top off the top of the budgets. And if you don't have that.
Mr. Chair, Representative.
Mr. Showalter.
Certainly on the unallotments, the figure was 2.25% as of the unallotments this past summer. During the supplemental or during the biennial budget recommendations, there were further reductions from that initial starting point. That varied by agency. 5, 7, 10% was a common set of numbers that you would have seen in some of those recommendations.
Mr. Chair,
follow-up.
Could you take a look at those numbers over the next couple days or weeks and get me the total over the last 4 or 5 years? Because it seems to me we've had budget deficits for the last 7.5 years?
Yeah.
No, wait, 6 years out of 7.5.
Yeah, as long as you've been here.
No. We had a couple where we had surpluses.
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, when we talk about higher ed, isn't the number, Mr. Showalter, closer to $53 million? I'm looking at where it says grants and other program reductions. Mm. So the $47 million is what your cap is under the maintenance of effort, but you're also reducing a variety of child care programs and grants and so on, work study, to a total of almost $6 million. So it's really 53.
That is correct. I was speaking to the institutions, but if you include Office of Higher Education, that's right.
Yeah. And when we're dealing with targets, Mr. Chairman, we're talking about the institutions plus the grant and aid programs for students, so we're talking the total budget.
Yeah.
Representative Westrom, you're on the list.
Mr. Chair, discussions come up about the statute that requires the governor to have a balanced budget. Is that because we're going to quickly adopt it and not have to come up with a solution ourselves, or can you, or maybe the commissioner can read us the language of the statute, maybe staff could, so we all get a clearer understanding of this budget that we're looking at.
I think it's, I don't have the language in front of me. We'll look for it. You probably have it at your fingertips. You want to read it to us?
Mr. Chair, maybe the commissioner understands it. Maybe he could give us a recap of his understanding, and then I have a follow-up question.
Commissioner, did you understand the question? What does the law say about you submitting a balanced budget?
Pardon me?
What does the law say about you submitting a balanced budget?
The governor's required to submit a budget to the legislature by the 25th or 26th of January in the odd year. There's actually no requirement to submit a supplemental budget in a supplemental year.
Maybe we should have a new change in law.
But we're here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I understand that, but
Mr. Chairman, as a qualified neutral in the state of Minnesota, I'm wondering if maybe I could offer some help here. Maybe we could find some common ground. You're talking about $387 million that you think is not money that should be booked for a balanced budget, which we should be grateful they've given you a start to the blueprint of fixing this deficit. But if those dollars are unrealistic and shouldn't be included, it seems like Representative Holberg made part of my point. Why don't we agree right here that the DFL will not put anything on the table that's unrealistic, such as $2.8 billion of tax increases, and maybe the commissioner here would find a supplemental document that would show us where $387 million could come, but at the same time, the majority party could do that as well, and I'm wondering if we could have a win-win scenario here, because if the focus is not to put unrealistic dollars on the table, why don't we just have an agreement to do that right now? Is that something we could get worked out, Mr. King?
Mr. I'll agree to 100% with this respect. I'll have, in fact, as Representative Holberg has even requested already, that said to me that she would offer it as a whole amendment. And if every Republican wants to vote for this budget balancing bill, we'll put up enough votes on the DFL side for you to pass it.
That's a
good start, isn't it?
Well, not really, Mr. Okay. Chairman, because I think in 2006 you promised the public you were going to lead the state in a much better direction. You want to take the Senate approach and rent enough Republicans to manage the budget when the going gets tough and then take it over when you've got a surplus.
No,
I think
just a minute.
That's the message the public is hearing.
I'm not going to cut you off, and I said something facetiously, and I should not do that, okay? But we are going to try to have a serious question going on, and I don't want to go back to the 387. I think we have said that quite a bit, that it's a very difficult thing to count it, and we have asked for some additional guidance.
Mr. Chairman, just one last comment, and I'm done. But okay. I think it is less difficult to count that than the DFL tax increases, and that is my point.
Well, everyone has their own opinion on
correct.
That as well.
And Mr.
That's
Chair, if I might clarify, and maybe you'll recall this as being correct, I never said that I would carry amendment. What I discussed with you was that should the governor decide to package this as a bill, that I had told the administration I would carry it on their behalf. There was no discussion of an amendment. And I think that you need to be fair in our discussions and what we have.
Representative Holbrook, I stand corrected, and I apologize directly to you today. Representative Hausman.
Wine is waiting. All by.
You and I have had a good working relationship, and it's almost difficult to ask a question in the context
of... We're going
to
see each other tomorrow.
Yes, we are, of the last few minutes. But I think the thing I struggle with as I'm listening to the discussion around the table is I know what I would do to balance the budget if I could. I would put revenue on the table as part of it. I would certainly cut. I would put revenue on. But my understanding is we don't have that option to put revenue on the table. And I think that's why we keep pressing the administration for where the cuts will come. And part of that is one does learn the leadership style of an administrator. And I think when one wants to get something done, which we have to do, we must pass a balanced budget. We look at past experience and we learn from it. And I had one just at the meeting before, which was transportation policy, where a chair, an author, has been trying, I don't know, I almost think it's 2 years now, to get a transportation policy through, and has worked with the administration and has made the changes, has taken things out that MnDOT has asked for, thought he had arrived at that point today. And then there were a couple of other words that would have been the reason to veto the bill. So I think this is in earnest, knowing we have to pass it, but knowing in another experience I may have tomorrow, where chief executive really has some fairly strong feelings about the size of the bill and the content. And so we don't have a lot of time here. And when this person has such strong feelings and it is, and anything counter is met with a veto threat, then we do keep seeking out information. What would work? What would work? What would work? What are the details? So that we can pass a balanced budget. Again, apparently the preference I would have isn't on the table. I would prefer new revenue. And at least with this governor, that won't be possible. And yet, my obligation as a state legislator is to pass a balanced budget. So, because we wouldn't also make these really cruel cuts that we see, we look for significant advice. None of this is going to be very easy. I think that's a question in earnest for advice about where we go from this point, from the governor's budget that's just been put before us.
Mr. Hansen.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Houseman, as always well said by you, I think that as we have seen over the last 36 hours that the list of options to resolve a $1.2 billion deficit after years of declining revenue is incredibly imperfect. And had we set the FMAP aside and cut K-12 education or something else, we'd all be talking about that, and that would be the focus of the conversation. It is, unfortunately, not a fun situation for any of us serving the public. I know that's not much of an answer to your eloquent words, but it is a list of very, very, very imperfect options. And am I, in putting it together, I've sweated this for ever since I saw the number on the forecast right before Thanksgiving. I knew exactly where this was going, and it's not very fun. So it's to say that I realize you don't like some of the things in it, but I do hope, you know, that we can figure something out. And yes, the revenue is not on the table. It's as always, walled off. So we have to figure something else out and work together.
Commissioner, I don't want to open up a can of worms, but the question was asked. I will read the law that I passed that had the Broad Amendment in it. The Laura Broad. Notwithstanding any law to the contrary, a budget proposed by the governor and enacted for fiscal years 10 and 11 must also provide for a balanced general fund budget in fiscal years 12 and 13. That's the amendment that Laura Broad offered on the House floor. For points of clarification, Representative Carlson.
And Mr. Chairman, I've got the governor's supplemental recommendations that were handed out this morning, and the remaining deficit for 12 and 13 is $2,432 million. So that raises the question about budget being balanced in the out biennium.
Well,
it would appear that there's more work to be done under the law. But.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Carlson, I think it is a imperfectly worded statute. It's at best. I know the circumstances that it came under, and I think that the meaning that you're prescribing to it is questionable, from my perspective.
We all
they may be debatable. Being
debatable.
And I have different viewpoints
yes.
on it, but I would concede it's debatable, being that we have. Two different views.
Commissioner, just a couple of things that I have some question on. And I'm going through the document that you provided, which is the governor's somewhat detailed all funds.
With the descriptions on it, Mr.
With the
Chairman?
Descriptions on it.
Okay.
There's two documents you have. One is, I think, has 28 pages, and one has 65 pages. And I have just a couple of basic questions. I believe all those documents are in your packet. And one of my basic questions is on the education fund, two questions, page 4 and page 5. Start on page 5. We all know it's very, very difficult times. And yet the governor is asking for, on the second one, EPAS data collection. And I know this is going to be in the Education Committee, but $191,000, teacher contract reporting $15,000, and rulemaking related items $155,000. Now, I'm not so concerned about the number, but I'm just asking, why is the governor wanting to spend more money in those areas? And I would think within the Department of Education they could find $15,000 laying on the House floor that they wouldn't have to ask for additional spending authority.
Mr. Chairman, I think as it's netted out, it's still an operating reduction. If you look on the...
No, I understand that, but okay. if there's that additional money within the department, why are we spending more money on it? I know $5,000 isn't much, and $191,000 isn't much. But we're looking under every little nook and cranny and couch cover for the nickels and dimes. And you may have netted it out, but if you can net it out, then we could net a little bit more out. And I know there's all kinds of justifications for things.
Right.
Just a very basic question. Why are we spending more money?
Mr. Chairman, I think there are some things that we felt, and I... You know, I've Ms. Weber from our department's here to provide rationale if you want it.
I don't want the rationale.
I know you don't want that.
That's for the Education Committee to do the rationale.
Right.
They'll decide
I think
that.
The broader answer is there were some things, even with the deficit where it was. I mean, the best example is Commissioner Ines's area in the governor's tax proposals. And then there are a few uppers scattered throughout the budget where we felt it was justified. It's an excellent question.
Well, and then on page 4, you're capturing the early childhood carry forward balances as well. And my basic question is, if you're capturing them then, are you then having that as the additional cut? Throughout all this, it's just a very basic question. You're capturing money from the Special Revenue Fund and other pots of money. Is the agency then backfilling their cut with that, or is this an additional cut to the agency?
Well, Mr. Chairman, the in the case of the early childhood carry forward, that would have that was going to cancel. That was money that was not going to be used.
I understand it, and I have no problem with that.
Okay.
My question is then the agency taking the 3% cut and then capturing this money so they don't have to do a 3% cut?
No. Mr. Chair, the 3% cut is reflected here, and then there's an additional 3% getting us to 6% of the 2011 operating budgets is carried in MMB non-operating. But that 3% that you see here in operating budget reduction is a separable item. And you see that similar kind of item in most state agencies, boards, across the board, throughout these 80-some-odd pages.
Okay, then one other quick question on page 60 of that same document. The lottery. I know that the lottery has installed a new game called the Mega Millions. I think it brings in net to the state, from my understanding, about $12 million. Some of it goes into other pots, and then the 40%, 60%. It's on the bottom of page 60 of the document. But that would normally be picked up in the forecast, in the next forecast. How can you then count $5 million more in the balancing budget if you're going to count it in the forecast as an additional revenue? Are you double counting, or is the governor directing the lottery to put another game out?
Mr. Chair, excellent question. That was a tough one. Basically, as you know, the lottery changes are reflected in the forecast. So when we basically rebook what the changes that the governor is recommending are going to be, he's going to lose, whether it's $5 million or some other number that's reflected in the forecast. So we will not double count it. This is just basically reflecting his belief that there's administrative actions that have been taken. They will create some new lottery proceeds. Of course, it's going to be going through the as usual 60-40 split. That's reflected here. Once we get to the forecast, we'll have a new baseline, and this number will fall away.
Well, what it really says to me isn't, I mean, we have some standards that we try our best to follow through on, and that would normally be in the forecast. I understand that. And so you're taking it out of the forecast now so that the budget itself, you're counting it early, I guess. But it's another example of saying, well, we don't have to make some, it's another $5 million. I know it's small amount in the total of the $121 million or $1.2 billion that we got. But I'm just saying that I'm very concerned about those type of things appearing in this document when they should be appearing in the forecast. Other questions? Commissioner, you got off real easy tonight. You got home early.
Yes.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Any other questions at all? If not, then the joint meeting is adjourned.